ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today, reading from 10th canto, 37th chapter, starting with text number 1, a few verses we'll read, since there are no purports. Shri Shuku Vacha Keshi tu kamsa prahita kurayamahim Mahahayo nirjarayam manojava Satabadhuta brahvimana sankulam Kurvanabo hishita Bishita kila Keshitu kamsa prahita kurhaya mahim Mahahayo nirjayaram manojava Satavadutta brahvimana sankulam Vanabho heshita bishita kilam Ramsa gaita kuraya mahim Sakulam Sukhavacha Keshetu Kamsa Bahita Kuramahim Mahaheo Nirjaranama Vajrava Vanabo Hishita Vyantam Vyantam Vaishnavis, Shuku Vacha, Keshetu Kamsa Prahita Kuraya Mahim, Mahayo Nirjayatam Manojava, Tavibhuta Brahvimana Sankulam, Shri Shuka Uvacha Shri Shuka Goswami said, Keshi, the demon named Keshi, to and then Kamsa Prahita, sent by Kamsa, Gurai with his hooves. Mahim the earth. Mahahaya a huge horse. Nirjadayan ripping apart. Mana like that of the mind. Java whose speed. Sata by the hairs of his mane. Abadhuta scattered. Abra with the clouds. Vimana and the airplanes of the demigods. Sankulam crowded. Kurvan making. Nabha the sky. Hishita by his neighing. Bishita frightened. Akila everyone. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadah Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gauravakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Panchakalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha.
So these are several verses. I'll read the translation. First I'll read the, since the translations are together, I'll read the second verse.
Tamtra sayatam bhagavan swagokulam taddeshitaya vala vigurnitam buddham atmanam ajo migayantam agranir upabayatsa
Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, the demon Keshi, sent by Kamsa, appeared in Braja as a great horse, running with the speed of the mind. He tore up the earth with his hooves. The hairs of his mane scattered the clouds, and the demigods' airplanes throughout the sky. And he terrified everyone present with his loud neighing. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw how the demon was frightening his village of Gokula by neighing terribly and shaking the clouds with his tail, the Lord came forward to meet him. Keshi was searching for Krishna to fight. So when the Lord stood before him and challenged him to approach, the horse responded by roaring like a lion. So in the first verse, Kamsa sent Keshi. At one point, Kamsa, his two most powerful demons, were Arishta and Keshi. All the other demons, when we analyze the other demons in Krishna Lila, who Krishna killed,
They were not directly confronting Krishna. No. They were creating some disturbance. Just like Agasura, he was sitting with his mouth open. No. Trinavarta, he took Krishna up into the air. But of course Krishna, as Kavi Karnapur describes, Krishna was just enjoying the ride. No. He said, "Oh, this is a nice ride." Like nowadays we have circuses and amusement parks. People like to go up in the air and come down again. So Krishna, where does that come from? Everything comes from Krishna. So Krishna has the original amusement park. And so Krishna, but all these demons, Shakata, Surta, Putana, they approach Krishna indirectly. But Arista and Keshi, they attacked Krishna directly. And they were very aggressive. Of course, all the demons were aggressive in one sense, but they were the most powerful. So Kamsa called them, and he said, "You two, you should go and find out where this child is that has escaped me." At that point, Kamsa didn't know that Krishna was actually at the home of Nandamaraj. He was simply sending out demons. And Keshi was very proud, very, very proud. He said, "Kamsa, we shouldn't make enemies unnecessarily." But Kamsa became angry. You know, just like Chanakya Pandit says, if you try to instruct a foolish person, they become angry. So Kamsa was the greatest foolish person. And when Keshi instructed him, he sent Keshi far away. But Keshi was very fond of Arista. And at that point, Narada Muni, a little later, Narada Muni came and said, "Actually, the person you're looking for, the son of Vasudev and Devaki, is directly in the home of Nanda Maharaj." That's when he sent Aristasura. And Krishna so easily killed Aristasura. Then Kamsa called Keshi, but Keshi didn't want to come immediately, so he sent some other demon. But finally Keshi came, very proud. He was very proud. And he said, "No need to give me any orders. I know what to do." And he went. And so that's how he came at this particular, and he was making such a disturbance, such a great disturbance. In relation to the second verse here, Sri Jiva Goswami comments that that Keshi was actually, he was running around, but he realized that running around is not, he will simply expend his energy. So he went to a place near the Yamuna, which has now become Keshi Ghat. And in the Varaha Purana, it says that Ganga Shatagunam, that this place, Keshi Ghat, is 100 times more pure than the Ganga. Because yet punya keshi na patitaha, because Keshi was killed there by Krishna, and because of the Yamuna, because Krishna makes such a great effort. It's such a holy place, Keshi Ghat. I remember the first time I came to India, I went to Keshi Ghat and to take bath. I wondered why nobody's taking bath there. It's such a holy place. So I went in, and all of a sudden this poisonous snake came up and right up to me, looking at me. And I thought, well, I didn't know it was a poisonous snake at that time. Then the snake went away. I got out very quickly. I looked down, and there was hundreds of snakes all over the place. And so I asked one sadhu, I said, "Are these snakes poisonous?" "Oh, yes."
very much. I said, well, what do you do if they bite you? He said, Radhe, Radhe. No. So that's a passive attitude. So anyway, Keshigad is a very, very holy place. So in the Vishnu Purana, it says that Krishna went there, and all the people, of course, Jiva Goswami also explains that the residents, when they saw Keshi, they went running toward Keshi. Why did they run toward? They were very frightened. But why did they run toward Keshi? Because they were fearful for Krishna. Even though they were crying out, Krishna, Krishna, save us. When Krishna appeared, then in the Harivamsa, it says that all of a sudden, especially Yashoda Mai, she said, don't go near that demon. He's very dangerous. And Krishna said, oh, I'm sorry, mother. I must go. Because everyone is in danger. And then Krishna said to everyone, why are you so fearful? No, you should be very courageous. This is just a big horse. No, we employ so many horses in our service. This is just a puffed up horse running around, kicking up, making so much of a disturbance. And it says in this first verse, such a disturbance. Actually, his name Keshi comes from what he was doing here. Vimana Sakulam. That the demigods in their vimanas, because they're always hovering around, what is Krishna doing? And he was so powerful and so big that his hairs, Keshi, his hairs were disturbing. And so then when Krishna saw that the residents of Vrindavan were in danger, Krishna said, do not fear. I will take care of this demon myself. And everyone was saying, don't go near him. He's very dangerous. As it says here in the the next verse. I'll read the next verse. So the next verse says, Satam nishamya bimuko mukenakam vibhaniva vyadvapat yamarshana Chaghana Padyam Aravindalochanam Durasadashchanda Javodurathyaya. Translation. Seeing the Lord standing before him, Keshi ran toward him in extreme rage, his mouth gaping as if to swallow up the sky. Rushing with furious speed, the unconquerable and unapproachable horse demon tried to strike the lotus-eyed Lord with his two front legs. So, our acharyas explain that Durasada, he was very difficult to get a hold of because he was so big and so powerful. So Krishna had to wait. Krishna had to wait, and we'll see this in the next verse, that he had to wait till the demon was positioned properly. And Duratyaya, unconquerable. The residents of Vrindavan thought, he's unconquerable. Please, Krishna. They'd had no solution. They had no solution. Certainly, they were not going to be able to conquer the demon. But because they had no solution, still they were concerned about Krishna. This is a devotee. A devotee is simply concerned about Krishna's pleasure. A devotee is simply concerned about Krishna's happiness. And the Brajvasis. Of course, Krishna took this all very seriously, as it says in the previous verse, Bhagavan Swagokulam. Because Swagokulam. This is Krishna's Gokula. No. Otherwise, this is Krishna's place. So many things are going on in the material world, and people become bewildered because they see hurricanes and volcanoes and earthquakes, all these things. No. Just like here in Mumbai, there's so many big, tall buildings now coming up because it's good business. But if there was a very, very powerful earthquake, some of those buildings may fall. Just like in my zone, Mexico City, we have just, I think, a few weeks just before I left for India, there was like 29 earthquakes in 1 week. Small one, but one was big, a big one. Every time they have an earthquake, a siren goes off, everybody runs outside the building. So like every few hours, a siren goes off, everybody runs out, waits for 5 minutes, goes back in. And this is the material world. Trying to make something, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Maya Sukhayam Param Udvahato Vimudhan. These Vimudhas, not just ordinary Mudhas, but exceptional Vimudhas, very qualified Vimudhas. They are so busy making big arrangements for Maya Sukhaya, for the illusory happiness that Maya can provide. It's like Srila Prabhupada, when he first went to Switzerland. So Switzerland prides itself as being the original democratic society. And they have a big square where people come and vote, you know, for whatever they vote for. And so they made the arrangement, you know, very difficult arrangement for Srila Prabhupada to come and speak in that place. They had big, big, big speakers, and you know, devotees made all-out arrangements. And this is the Swiss. They're very proud, you know. Although I've seen in India, as far as festivals go, no one can beat India. No. Who can beat Kumbh Mela? Sometimes traffic cannot be controlled. But Kumbh Mela with millions of people, because it's spiritual, everything's so nicely organized. No. No one can excel India in festivals. So the Swiss are very proud of their technology. So Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna! The electricity went off. No. So Prabhupada quoted that verse, Maya Sukhaya Param Udvahato Vimudha. No. Yeah. Making such a big arrangement, but it will ultimately fail. So these residents of Vrindavan, Krishna's concern that, you know, so many things are going on by karma, by destiny. But when it happens in Vrindavan, then Krishna is personally in charge. Even nowadays, when you go to Vrindavan, you'll see that everything is under Krishna's control. Although we may be experiencing some residual karma, hopefully residual, meaning once a devotee is initiated and takes seriously to his vows, then the only thing that can happen is aparad. Because there's two things. One is residual karma, which means, as Lord Brahma says, that karma is burnt up at the time of performing devotional service, chapakti bhaja. But there's the residual. The everyone's life has to go on in the way that destiny has planned it, just that the reaction will be different. Instead of losing my head, I may lose my finger. And Krishna is just teaching us. As Lord Brahma said, Tatenu kampam susamikshama no bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. That atmakrita, we do something, and Krishna arranges that it comes to us in such a way that it is only to preserve jivantiye mukte pada sadhayava. It is only just enough to convince us that this material world is not my home. This is not where I belong. I belong in Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha. Some people prefer Vaikuntha. We followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we prefer Goloka Vrindavan. That is his recommendation. So, So Krishna, it says here, Jaganapadyam Aravindalochanam. The lotus-eyed Lord, Shukadeva Goswami, is saying this, showing how foolish Kamsa is. Even Putana, when she saw Aravindalochanam, when she saw Krishna's beautiful lotus face and lotus eyes, she was attracted by his beauty. Of course, that's a long story. Why did that happen? Because previously she was the daughter of Bali Maharaj. And when she saw Vamanadeva, she was very attracted. Vamanadeva, very beautiful. And she was thinking, I would like to be his mother. I would like to give him milk. But then when Vamanadeva tied up Bali, she couldn't understand why, so she became angry and she cursed him. I will give him my milk and I will poison him. So she came as Putana. But even she was appreciating his beauty and she was also appreciating his power. But Keshi was so angry, as it says here, Ati Amarshana, in this third verse, very, very angry. Anger is a very dangerous thing. As it says in Padma Purana, Shoka Marshire Marshadi B Babayar. When we are overcome by lamentation, anger, greed, all these things, Adibi, all these things, then akantantam yasya manusham. When these things enter into the mind, then katam tasyam mukundasya, then spurti sam bhavana bhavet. How can the Lord appear within the heart if these things are there? And therefore Krishna tells Arjuna, Kama esha krotesha rajugunas upavaha mahashano mahapatma vidyanam iha vayarinam. These are our greatest enemies. As Prahlad Maharaj said to Lord Narsinghadev, that randaya randaya karmashayan, that please, my Lord, take away the most dangerous enemy, which are the material desires within my heart. Take these things away from me. No, they are very dangerous. Keshi could not appreciate the beautiful lotus eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was overcome by anger. I was a little ill yesterday. He tried to strike the Lord with his two front legs, as it says here. Then the next verse. Tanvan chayitva tamadoksha jarusha pagrihya durbhyam parividya padayo sabhagyam utsvijya danusha tantare yatorangam taksha suto. But the transcendental Lord dodged Krishna's blow and then with his arms angrily seized the demon by the legs, whirling him around in the air and contemptuously threw him the distance of 100 bowlings, just as Garuda might throw a snake. Lord Krishna then stood there. Jiva Goswami says in his Gopal Chambu that he took his hooves and then he turned around and tried to kick Krishna because a horse's back legs are more powerful. So he tried the front legs, that didn't work, and he turned around and when the back legs came up, Krishna, just like a small child, grabbed the back legs. Tried to kick him, Krishna avoided it, grabbed the legs and twirled him around, and through him about 200 meters, 230 meters, which is Shatta Danur, 100 bow lengths. So these were big bows, big people at that time. Just before Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, we're all getting smaller and smaller. Prabhupada, in one lecture, he said, at the end of Kali Yuga, people will be only 1 meter high. And there will be no water. So they will have to drink blood only. And therefore, they have to eat one another. And when that happens, then Kalki comes and cuts off their heads. There's no question. You can't teach them anything. You can't give them a Bhagavatam class. No. Even a dog will not attack another dog unless there's some reason, like food. But in Kali Yuga, as Narottam Das Thakur says, that even an envious snake can be tamed by some music or some mantra. But an envious person can never be, they cannot be controlled in any way, only by lopping off the head. Of course, we don't do that. That's Kalki's business, not our business. We try to lop off the false ego. But that's not an easy thing, because first we have to give up our false ego. How can you take away someone's false ego if you have false ego? And this is pride. False ego means pride. Ahankar. Ahankara vimudatma. That manyate. That one thinks, kartahamiti manyate. That I am the doer. I am the controller. When we think like that, then we can't accomplish anything. So here, Krishna is showing his abilities and his strength. And now, the next verse. Salabda samgya puna utito rusha vyadhaya keshi tarasa patadharim. Supyasya vaktre bujamutaram smayam praiveshayam asa yaturagam bile. Upon regaining consciousness, Keshi angrily got up, opened his mouth wide, and again rushed to attack Lord Krishna. But the Lord just smiled and thrust his left arm into the horse's mouth as easily as one would make a snake enter a hole in the ground. When I was in Thailand, at that time, Bhakti Vikas Swami was there. Before he took sannyas. What was his name? Ilapati. So I was there. I came and stayed with him. And he told me that the biggest cause of death in Thailand is people putting their hands in a mouse hole and there's a cobra inside. Because they like very much to eat rat. No, not very good culture. No. So they stick their hand and get bit by a cobra. That was like the main cause of death. So, and of course, now we know, because we're Vaishnavas, or aspiring Vaishnavas, we know that people cannot, they must, if they kill animals, especially the cow, which is very prominent in many Western countries, that actually in China, they didn't kill the cow. Only when they became so modernized, because they didn't drink, there weren't many cows, because they didn't drink milk, they drink soya milk. So, but now they kill cows like anything. They're the biggest importers of cow flesh in the world now. That's the wonderful influence of the West, especially the U.S. So wonderfully spreading mlecha culture all over the world. And the worst, most degraded degree. Because here in India, there are mlechas, there are yavanas, and there are brahmins and everything. But the Brahminical culture still, to some degree, pervades. And of course, that's what we're doing. We are teaching Brahminical culture. Srila Prabhupada said, these temples are for forming Brahmins. This is the main purpose. Not the main purpose is not even to come and so people can come and take darshan. That's secondary. First and most important, we must train Brahmins so that they will spread Krishna consciousness, because this is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So, but these mleches. So Krishna, just as he lifted Govardhan, first when he lifted Govardhan, he lifted it with his hand. And then just to show, just to spite Indra, he just put it up on his little finger. So here, again, with the left hand, not even the right hand, just with his left hand, which is considered the weakest, weakest hand, puts it right in Keshi's mouth. And we'll see what happens in the next verse. But this is, he opened his mouth so wide as if to devour the whole universe. He was so big, and we can't even imagine how big he was. When Krishna attacked him, it says that in the Vishnu Purana, it says that Krishna was like a dark cloud and Keshi was like the moon because he was white. So he's white colored. So it looked like a big dark cloud covering the moon. Otherwise, Krishna was so much more powerful. Is it this verse? Next verse. So powerful, such a powerful demon. But Krishna, and such a small boy, actually, because this time, this was after Govardhan Leela, so actually the residents of Vrindavan, they realized that Krishna could kill demons. Up to Govardhan Leela, they thought it was all imagination. The boys were just exaggerating. But even though there was evidence, there was evidence in so many different pastimes, even the Damodar pastime, when Krishna pulled down the Jamala Arjuna trees, nobody could explain how that happened. And the boys said, well, Krishna pulled it down. But some young boy's imagination. But after Govardhan Leela, they saw that. But still, in this Leela, they were still thinking that Krishna could get hurt. They were thinking, just like when Krishna was confronting Kaliya. Mother Yashoda wanted to go in there and help him. And Balaram stopped her and said, and she fainted. She couldn't believe that. What would she do to Kaliya? But that was their sentiment. Even though they could see Krishna was so powerful, he could lift Govardhan Hill. But here, again, they're thinking, oh Krishna, be careful, this demon is so big. Because they have no ability to think in terms of Aishwarya. They think in terms of Madhurya. Krishna is so wonderful, Krishna is so beautiful, Krishna is so sweet. So Krishna stuck his arm, and then once the arm was inside, as we will see, it expands. Krishna didn't want anyone to see that. Therefore, he put his arm in first, and of course, when he did that, the residents of Vrindavan were, again, very fearful. He will bite off Krishna's arm, they thought. What's Krishna doing? But that's now we'll see what really happened. In this last verse that we'll read for today. Tantani petu bhagavad bujas pishas te keshinas taptamayas pishoyata bahuschatad deha kato mahatmano yatamayasabhavite upekshita. Keshi's teeth immediately fell out when they touched the Supreme Lord's arm, which to the demon felt as hot as molten iron. Within Keshi's body, the Supreme Personality's arm then expanded greatly, like a diseased stomach swelling because of neglect. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that although the Lord Krishna's arm is more tender and cooling than a blue lotus, to Keshi it felt extremely hot, as if made of lightning bolts. And one thing I forgot to say, that when Keshi was with his mane was disturbing the demigods and moving the clouds around, it was so powerful that the clouds, they were producing thunder and lightning, and, you know, otherwise such a powerful demon. And Krishna's arm is so tender. His hands are like butter. They're so soft. But to Keshi, when Keshi bit down, it says not only, there's a verse which I can't remember, that says that it took the teeth out by the roots. His teeth were like huge stones. No, they were so hard and so powerful. But when he tried to bite Krishna's arm, they all fell out. And it says in this verse, Tadehagato Mahatmano, which is translated here, Mahatmana of the Supreme Soul, or Keshi's body expanded, just like the Super Soul is expanded everywhere, Krishna's arm became like the Super Soul, Mahatmana, became like a Super Soul and expanded everywhere. So great. I don't know if it's mentioned here, but actually, in a future verse, he split in half. He split in half. One ear, one eye, half of a tail, half of a body, two legs. Just like Jarasandha. And he also, I think it's in the next verse, it says he passed stool. Jiva Goswami says that passing stool meant by Krishna's touch, all of the impurities came out of him. Otherwise, he got sayujya mukti, because all of the impurities go out. So at the time of death, sometimes people become very fearful. And that is the idea. By passing urine and stool, the impurities go out, and they should be understanding at this time, I am not this body. And all the impurities go out of the body. But generally speaking, people don't understand that. And they simply think this is a biological reaction, which it is. But what is the real reason behind it? So, those are some aspects of these verses. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and also in his Sri Krishna Samhita, he explains what Keshi, because he explains all of the different demons and how they represent different anarthas. So he says, Keshi specifically represents when one thinks that I am a great devotee or an acharya, otherwise pride. When a devotee fills up with pride and thinks that I am better than the other devotees, I'm the best Midanga player, I'm the best speaker, I'm the best Sankirtan devotee, whatever. If we think like that, a devotee may be very expert, but he should maintain his humility. Trinadabhi sunichena. Just like in the Srinivas Thakur describes the six Goswamis as very expert. They were very expert, but at the same time, they were very humble. Very, very humble and very meek. They were the greatest devotees. Lord Chaitanya gave Rupa Goswami the duty of expanding his teaching. And he gave Sanatana Goswami, he gave more instruction, because Sanatana Goswami had to prepare the Sambandha. So more detail was there. But Rupa Goswami was given the liberty of Abhideya, Govinda, giving Shiksha, expanding the understanding of Krishna's intimate pastime. So This mentality is very, very dangerous. We should not develop the old devotee syndrome. No. Now I'm an older devotee. I don't have to offer obeisances to anyone. No. Everyone should offer obeisances to me. When Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Prabhupada comments, he would offer 2,000 obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas daily. That's good exercise. No? 2,000 times. No? Very good exercise. I don't know whether he did it just by in the mind, but however he did it, at least 2,000 Vaishnavas daily he would offer obeisances. And sometimes we become so proud we won't offer obeisances to anyone. Actually, as we advance in devotional service, we should become more humble. We should become, just like Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, before writing the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he took permission from Govinda, he took permission from Manan Mohan, he took permission from Gopinath, he took permission from the Vaishnavas. Oh. Actually, the Vaishnavas told him to do it, but he wanted to make sure. No, he felt I'm not qualified. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that if anyone mentions my name, they will lose all of their pious activities. So this is his humility. And so a Vaishnava, as we advance the devotional service, we may have some position where we have to chastise others. But that chastisement should be out of love. And as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, whenever any disciple would offer him obeisances, he would say, Dasosmi, I am your servant. That if I'm telling you something, if I'm chastising you, whatever I'm doing, it is only a service. We should never think that I am greater than another devotee. Otherwise, the keshi mentality will come in. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that that mentality is so dangerous. When one begins to think I'm a very expert devotee, then one begins to think, why is the Lord chastising me? Otherwise, something happens to us. I'm such an accomplished devotee. Why is Krishna doing this to me? Then we become envious of Krishna, and then we fall down. So we have to be very, very careful to always maintain the humble mood. Lord Chaitanya, in two verses of Shikshastikam, he emphasizes this. Because Dudaivamidrishami Hajani Nanuraga. How will I get this attraction? How will I get it? I don't have it. How will I get it? I must be very humble. I must be more tolerant than a tree. I have to respect everyone. Respecting everyone doesn't mean that we go around respecting Malechas and Yavanas, though. It means that we understand that they are spirit souls, and ultimately we see them as spirit souls. Vidyavinaya sampani brahmanigavi ashtini. We see them properly. And then, nadana najana sundari kavita va. In order to have this humility and have the Shikshastika is progressive. So in order to develop humility and tolerance, I have to give up dana and jana and sundari. And jana is so dangerous that Lord Chaitanya mentions it twice. No. Amanina. Amanina and najana. Same thing. No, I don't want any reputation. I don't want any recognition. And sundari, no, both men and women, I'm not interested in the opposite sex. If I'm married, then it's for service. Everything is for service. Everything is for serving Krishna. There's nothing else. So just like Dhanurdas, the servant of Ramanuja, he was a wrestler. He was a Shudra by nature. But he was so dear to Ramanuja that the Brahmanas became envious of Dhanurdas. Why is our Acharya going around with this low-class man? But so Ramanuja showed them by Krishna's, by the arrangement of Rangadev. The Brahmins one day, they had an argument. Someone took someone else's cloth. And they came to Ramanuja, you know, very angry. So Ramanuja said,
He told two Brahmins, you go to Dhanardasa's house and bring me his gold, and I will resolve this issue. Well, they couldn't understand. They were not very expert thieves. So they went in, and he was not there, but his wife was there resting, and they saw a gold earring on her. So they came, and they took the earring, and she was awake. She thought, oh, our Guru Maharaj needs money. So she turned over so they could get the other earring. But they became startled. No. They ran back. They brought the earring. And then Dhanardas came home. The wife explained what happened. And he said, just see, you were so attached that you scared them away. Let us take all of our wealth. They gathered everything, all the gold, silver, everything they had, and brought it to Ramanuja. Dear Guru Maharaj, there must be some need. Take everything that we have. And so Ramanuja said, you see, you Brahmins fighting over a piece of cloth. And here these Grihasthas, supposedly attached, they're giving up everything freely for the pleasure of Sri Guru and the Supreme Lord. So the Brahmins, now we understand who is Dhanardas. So we should never judge a devotee. We should always be very careful that we respect, especially the Vaishnavas. And we respect everyone. Sama sarvasu bhuteshu. This is a symptom of being on the spiritual platform, that you respect everyone. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has warned us, let us be very careful not to be proud of whatever ability Krishna gives us. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. It's just Krishna acting through us, making us his instrument. So if we use that empowerment properly, then we will become Krishna's servant. But if we think that this is mine, this is something that I possess, then we will fall down into material consciousness. So these are some thoughts on this verse, on these verses. Any questions, any comments? Yes, just 1 second, My hearing has gotten very bad, so I have to put in this apparatus here to hear you properly. Too many junjal. Blew out my ears. I was on Padayatra for 1 year, first Padayatra, and too much loud noise for my ears. I think Indians, they must have very strong ears. The environment makes them very strong and tough. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. Your emphasis on humility, spiritual life is so endearing, very nice. Can you please tell in short how you joined ISKCON for the benefit of ISKCON?
By Krishna's mercy. I saw the devotees when I was in the university. I didn't take it so seriously because they were just passing through. I got one magazine from Vishnu Jan Swami. He took all my money. No, a very expert Sankirtan man. No. And so then I was drafted into the army, at Vietnam War time in the U.S. So I had to go to the army and it was very miserable. And I was thinking about the devotees, that why didn't I take this? I should have gone with them. I did. I tried to find them, but, they were gone. And then by Krishna's grace, I went into the library and I found Bhagavad Gita. And I wrote to the devotees. There was an address. They told me, you should do Sankirtan. You chant 16 rounds and do Sankirtan. What's that? What is Sankirtan? You sell books. So they sent me big boxes of books. And I distributed to the soldiers. And many of them became devotees by Krishna's grace. And that's how I came. Then I got out of the army and I ended up in Latin America somehow or another. And the rest is all Krishna's mercy.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare
Krishna. Yes, Hare.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for class. Maharaj, we spent some time in temple in ISKCON, 10-12 years, and with our getting, you know, senior, becoming a senior devotee or, you know, spending some time, become proud. You see you spending 50 years in the moment, around 50 years, having serving as a sannyasi, guru, even in Vrindavan you are chairman of the community there. How you maintain
second
your...
Second vice chairman. I will become chairman in the future if they don't kick me out. No. Because I became too proud. No.
How you maintain, Maharaj, such humility and free fraud, free from such pride which come by getting older or more services, more designations? What make you, what help you, Maharaj?
Well, that's why we have Shastra. That's why we have Bhagavad Gita. Nirmamo nirahankara. No, Krishna says twice in Bhagavad Gita. Nirmama. No, that nothing is mine. Nirahankara. No, and I am not this body. I am a spirit soul. This ahankar has nothing to do with me. So we have to hear. And that's why we're here hearing. No, because that will save us from pride and anger and frustration. No, the more we associate. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami that Krishna Bhakti Mula Hoy Hoy Sadhu Sangha, that the root cause of Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoy Sadhu Sangha, the root cause of bhakti is association with devotees. And even Krishna Prema Janme Hanre, what is it? Dehu Mukha Anga. That even when one is at the platform of when Krishna Prem is entering into the heart, still the association with Vaishnavas is the most important thing. So this is, we should be so appreciative that Krishna is giving us this opportunity to associate and take advantage. Not think this devotee is like this, that devotee is like that. Yeah, we all have our conditioned nature. But a devotee looks beyond the conditioned nature. If it is our duty to correct someone, we do it as a service. And if we remember that everything I'm doing, everything I'm saying is a service, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said one time in a lecture, he said, just see me sitting on this big seat. All of you are in a little seat. All of you have no seat. A few of you have seats, but no seat, no, or one little piece of cloth. And so he said, you must think that I am some big zoo animal. No, so proud, no, bathing in satisfaction of hearing my glories. He said, so, but I must put my case before the Supreme Judge, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, Jarita Katari Kaha Krishna Padesha Maragyaya Guru Hanyatara Idesh. He says, wherever you go, whomever you meet, whatever you know about Krishna, you give it to them and become Guru. So Guru means that I'm simply everyone. We all must become Guru. Not that there's one guru and everybody else is the servant. No. Everybody must be guru by being a servant. No. If you try to be the guru, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also said, if you think that you're a guru, you are guru. No. You are like cow mentality, or better, buffalo. No, cows are nice. Buffaloes are just stupid. No. Cows are also not so intelligent. Otherwise, they wouldn't allow themselves. They're so big. If somebody tried to slaughter them, they just go like that, but they're not so intelligent. No. But they're very wonderful. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurya Kandambini that the greatest danger in spiritual life are the most subtle dangers. And the most subtle danger is when people start to glorify you, you may start thinking, maybe they're right. No. Maybe I am a great devotee. And then you fall back into material consciousness. So we always have to remember, just like Prabhupada, when he gave sannyas to Hridayananda Maharaj and Satswarup Maharaj, he said, everyone will call you Maharaj, but you must remember you are fool number one. So whatever position we have, whatever people may say, we always remember, I am simply a fool, and by the mercy of Guru Maharaj and Sri Parampara, they are maintaining me in Krishna consciousness. We never even think, a Vaishnava never thinks he's a devotee, but a neophyte thinks I am the greatest devotee. So if one becomes an advanced devotee, one thinks, this is all by the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga. So I think time is up. I see my instructions here. I can't exceed the time. Everyone is hungry. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari ki, Sri Sri Gaurinitai ki, Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.